Hello and welcome to Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. I'm Ryan Bickle. On today's show, we have Karen Jolisikowski from Warren County Conservation. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
And Jessie Lowry is here, and she's going to get things started.
Thanks so much, Ryan. I'm Jessie Lowry, Director of Conservation and Research here at Blank Park Zoo, and I like to always set the stage and talk about a modern zoo and its role in saving animals in the wild, because this is Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. The mission of our zoo is to inspire an appreciation of the natural world through conservation, education, research, and recreation. What I see the zoo as a window to the wild, a place where we can come in and invite the community to see some amazing creatures that lots of us will not be able to see in the wild in our lifetime, see the amazing agility of sea lions, and see animals from all over the world. And upon doing that and having that fun day at the zoo, we all get this warm, fuzzy feeling that we love these animals and they're beautiful, and we want to protect them. It's our job as a zoo to turn that warm, fuzzy feeling into a conservation action, something that's actually going to make a difference to the environment and to wildlife all around the world. And we've actually got an audience of over 500,000 people a year, and so we've got this really great platform, this really great opportunity to help incite conservation behavior change. And, you know, all zoos across the nation have about almost 200 million visitors per year. And so what a great opportunity. Blank Park Zoo helps save animals in lots of different ways. We try to be as green as we possibly can in our daily operations, as well as encouraging our staff and visitors to do so as well. We've been straw-free for many, many years because we know that straws and other single-use plastics really have a direct effect on nature and especially local wildlife. We support field organizations, those people that are out on the front lines in Africa and Indonesia and places across North America to save animals in their natural habitats. And, you know, a portion of every dollar that we make here at Blank Park Zoo goes to save animals in the wild. And it goes to projects like International Rhino Foundation and Hornbill Research Foundation and Tiger Conservation Campaign, whose we actually support anti-poaching teams to protect tigers in their natural habitat. But if you want to get the most bang for your buck, taking care of the local environment here in Iowa is extremely important. And so that's why we have lots of different campaigns, including Upcycle, where we remove invasive plant species from local parks. And it just so happens that some of those species are favorite treat items of some of our animals. So we take honeysuckle and mulberry out of natural areas and bring it back and feed it to our animals so everybody wins. And another great example is Plant Grow Fly. It's our pollinator conservation project where we encourage people to plant butterfly gardens. Whether it's a single pot on your back porch or entire prairie restoration, we feel that everybody can do their part. And Plant Grow Fly is how I met Karen and how I really got involved with Warren County Conservation and all of the great work that they do. So again, Karen, welcome to the show. We're so excited to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Warren County Conservation and, you know, the network of naturalists across the state of Iowa really attack these environmental problems from lots of different angles. And what I love about them is that Iowa is special because we have, you know, county conservation in every county. And it's really a fantastic resource for people locally to find out what they can do in their local environment. And when I think of county conservation boards, I think of prairies. And of course, prairies are so important to our pollinators and so important to, you know, Iowa's heritage as a tall grass prairie state. And so, Karen, why don't you, we'll go ahead and get started in talking just a little bit about, first of all, your role at Warren County. And then let's talk about Warren County Conservation and some of the programs that you guys do.
Okay. Well, I'm the naturalist for Warren County Conservation Board. So I'm in charge of doing a lot of educational programs like field trips out to our nature center, also public events for families and adults alike. And then we also host kids' summer day camps all summer long. And then we have a couple other events with our friends group as well. And then we also have our nature center, which is open year-round for everyone to come out and visit.
And how long have you been with Warren County?
I've been with Warren County since 2014.
Awesome. And you're also the president of the Iowa Association of Naturalists, is that right?
Yes.
Wonderful. So let's talk about Warren County a little bit more, and then we'll move to the Iowa Association of Naturalists. You know, it sounds like a lot of the education programs that you do are very similar to the education programs that we do here at Blank Park Zoo. And, you know, we really try with our educational programs to connect kids back to nature. Why don't you take us through some of your different programs, what's available, and how you're getting these educational messages to children and to families?
Sure. Well, in the summertime, we do a lot of day camps. So we start with the kids that are 4 years old, and we go up from there, and they come out for a whole week of camp-themed activities at our nature center. And then our field trips where the schools come out and we do different hands-on activities like pond study and hiking, archery, just depending on the age group there. We're also doing a Park Explorers event this summer where we're meeting once a month and families can come out and they will have like a self-guided activity they can do in our parks and then a snack and something that they can just kind of explore on their own with just a little bit of guidance from our staff. And then they can come back out and visit different parks in our county as well.
Well, I have a four-year-old daughter, and so all of the Park Explorers are already on my calendar for the entire summer.
Wonderful.
Because I saw how neat those sounded. And I'm glad that you include a snack because that is obviously very important to that age group. We did like peewee soccer for my four-year-old, and I called it the sitting on a blanket and eating snacks camp because that's basically what we did as a four-year-old. So tell us about the Park Explorers program.
So the Park Explorers, it's just going to be during the summer months three times. And then the first one is going to be themed around like the pond. So they'll get to use pond nets and catch frogs and insects and stuff like that.
And that's all out at your site around the Annette Nature Center. Tell us about the prairie and the Nature Center.
So the Nature Center has exhibits for everyone to come visit. We have live animals like snakes, salamanders, fish, turtles. We have two screech owls also. And then we have a brand new exhibit called the Priscilla Gomer Butterfly and Pollinator Exhibit that we just opened this last May. There's lots of things for the adults to look at in the room and talk to them about how to plant natives in their yard. But there's also hands-on things for the kids. They can try on little bee suits and pretend to be a beekeeper. There's also drawers that have insect-related items that they can pull out and play with. They can also become a butterfly themselves and put on some fancy wings and fly around the office. And we have a bee dance floor that teaches them about the waggle dance, and they can actually perform the same dance the bees do on the floor there. And then we have some native plants on the deck, so visitors that come can see what those plants look like when they're blooming and things like that, and then decide if they want them in their yard as well.
So the waggle dance, Ryan, do you know about the bee waggle dance?
No.
Would you tell us a little bit about that?
So the bees do different dances to communicate with each other. And so the waggle dance is one of those dances, and it goes basically in a figure eight. And they get to the middle, and they kind of shake their abdomen and wiggle around a little bit. So we've had the kids do the dance, and I've even caught a few adults having some fun, too. So,
and so that's to communicate to each other where the nectar resources are in the environment?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. And, you know, it's so amazing to see how much attention honeybees and native bees and, of course, the monarch butterfly are getting. And I just really am excited. It's like the bald eagle of this generation. And if any sort of taxa of animal were to get this much attention, I'm so glad that it's pollinators because, of course, pollinators need those native plants. And those native plants are the building blocks of the entire ecosystem that we have here in Iowa and that we need to really build back. And so how did, you know, Annette Nature Center and Warren County Conservation decide to build a bee exhibit? What was behind that decision?
We kind of had a blank space in our nature center that wasn't very utilized. And we decided that pollinators were really important to talk about. And we wanted to convert that area into a new exhibit. So we started out with a small observational honeybee hive and then we thought, well, you know what? This whole room needs to be about honeybees and butterflies and pollinators. So we got some funding and we knocked out the wall, added on a new deck, increased the space, and now a couple years later we have an exhibit.
Can you talk a little bit about the prairie and the native plants around the center and how you all restored that habitat so well? Because it is gorgeous.
Yep. Our staff works very hard to maintain our local areas, especially by the Nature Center. We have a large section of prairie. We also have a wetland area and then a small pond. And as part of the restoration project with the prairie, our Friends of Warren County Conservation Board also holds a plant sale every year where we sell native plants and our staff goes and harvests the seed from our local parks and then they grow those plants to sell to the public.
That's wonderful. I've got a few butterfly gardens in my yard. And Ryan, I know that you've dabbled a little bit with native plants and butterfly gardening as well.
I tried.
That sounds past tense.
Well, I'll have to try again.
Okay. with Plant Grow Fly, you know, you can find out all the information that you need to know on how to plant a butterfly garden, what plants to use, and how to arrange the plants in your garden, and where to find your plants. You get to name your garden. Some of my favorite names so far are Bonsai Betty's Butterfly Bar and Garden of Whedon. And my daughter's name is Elena, so our butterfly garden is Elena's Bee and Butterfly Bed and Breakfast. And I'll tell you what, it is extremely fun to see the visitors throughout the year. This past weekend, we saw hummingbirds, dragonflies. There's bumblebees all day, every single day, all kinds of native bees. And it's just been a joy to kind of learn how to do that and to be a part of Plant Grow Fly. So you can find out more information about that on the zoo's website. Let's talk a little bit about Iowa Association of Naturalists. Just tell us about that organization and what it does, what its goals are, and what your role is.
Sure. I'm the current president for IAN, and basically they hold workshops for educators throughout the state. Most of our membership consists of naturalists and different people that work at zoos or aquariums and a few teachers, and we just host workshops just to spread the word about what we do and to use your local resources and just programming like that.
So every single county has a naturalist, is that right?
In Almost Iowa? Every county, yep.
Okay, and so what kind of workshops, what kind of training do you offer? Do you have annual conferences? When are the workshops?
We have three workshops. There's a fall workshop, spring, and summer. Summer is a little bit more like a field trip workshop where a county hosts it, and then they choose different things to kind of highlight their county and different activities. Sometimes we go canoeing or kayaking, or we've even been caving on some of our workshops. And then the other two are focused a little bit more on programming that we do in the schools or at our nature centers, things like that. It ranges from anything about pollinators to first aid to wildlife, just a variety of different topics.
When we talk about the conservation board system we have in Iowa, mm-hmm. could you talk a little bit about how each county has a conservation board and what their responsibilities are?
Yep, each county has a conservation board, and so we're kind of the same in a way with some of the programming that we do. So as a county conservation board, we basically take care of all the county parks and maintain those. So that can be anything from having wildlife areas to campgrounds to golf courses to nature centers. So that's kind of what we do as a whole. So we have quite a bit of staff that work on different sections of that. So my job is basically education, but we have others that just go out and do like all the prairie work, or they do the woodland work and things like that.
So what makes Warren County special? The county in itself, and what kind of other natural areas are available for people?
Warren County we manage 13 different areas and two trails. So I think one of my favorite areas is Woodland Mounds, which is a large forested area. It's the largest one in Warren County. There's also Native American mounds that are there as well. It's just a great place to go hike and to see wildflowers. Pretty much every time I go out there, I hear a barred owl. But we also have areas like Rolling Thunder Prairie, where it's just acres upon acres of prairie, and right now it's blooming and it's really beautiful. And then we also have a few areas that have some ponds where you can go fishing and things like that. So for me, I just love all the beauty of the rolling hills in Warren County and all of our different areas.
What are some of the special wildlife that you can see in Warren County in some of these prairie areas?
Oh, we've had a bobcat that's walked across the parking lot by the nature center. I think my favorite is always when we see owls at our park.
And what inspired you, Karen, to be the conservationist that you are?
Oh, I was one of those kids that I was outside all the time. I grew up playing in my grandma's backyard out on the farm. Also, she had a quarry, and we did a lot of gardening when I was a kid. So I've just been a nature lover, you know, since day one. And what better way to have a job where you get to work outside?
You're speaking of some animals that you've seen by the Nature Center, mm-hmm. and I enjoy the Great Western bike trail, mm-hmm. and I've seen bobcats and coyotes, and I saw woodchuck this morning, mink, barred owl. The list goes on, and especially if you go in those early morning or maybe twilight hours, you can really see, of course, lots and lots of deer. Mm-hmm. You can see lots of animals, and it's just amazing how you just give them a little bit of space, you know, the trail, and then just each side of the trail has sort of a corridor, and how many animals use that as a home.
What do you think is next for Warren County Conservation? I mean, I know you guys are just getting the bee exhibit finished and unveiled to the public. Do you have any other plans on the horizon?
Eventually, we'll be doing another exhibit kind of on our main floor there that has a lot of Native American artifacts that were donated to us. So I think that's probably going to be our next big project.
And I attended a workshop out at Warren County Conservation. I think it was called Becoming an Outdoors Woman. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we call it Wild Women of the Woods. So it's very similar to like the DNR's program where we have just the ladies come out for a Friday night. They get to socialize and meet each other and camp over if they like to. And then on Saturday, they go to different sessions. So this year we're doing like SUP yoga is one of them. We're doing some outdoor cooking. They're going to learn about like herbal salves and things like that. So just any topic, you name it, we've kind of tried it there. They're also going to go canoeing as well.
The event that I attended was really interesting. You had a woman who was an avid camper, and she taught about campfire cooking. And when you first think about that subject, you think maybe there's not that much to it. But there are some amazing methods that you can use to make it simple, and how to keep your pack light, and what kind of things will stay fresh, and what kind of things will taste really good after you've been hiking for days on end. And sometimes you need something sweet, sometimes you need something salty. And I thought that was extremely, extremely interesting, and really enjoyed that.
Yeah, we have different sessions every year. So it's one of those programs that you can come back to year after year.
So, you know, like I said before, with the education programs at Blank Park Zoo, we really feel like connecting kids to nature is something important that's being lost right now with all of the screen time. I know that I'm a little bit guilty sometimes of having a little bit too much screen time. Of course, now I have to sit at my desk every day, almost all day. But kids are doing that too. And so that's what we're really trying to do with the Nature Play initiative and getting people really connected to nature. You know, with your experience as an educator and with kids, what do you think is the most important thing that we need to be messaging to the younger generations on how to save wildlife and how to make a difference in this world?
I think we really just need to get kids outside just to explore stuff that's in their backyard. And I think once they explore it and find out how interesting nature really is, then that will lead them to futures of doing things to protect the environment and just getting them interested in something other than like their cell phone or the iPad.
And it really is way more interesting if you just get them away for a moment. And actually, I have an example from just last night. We decided to eat dinner outside because it was just gloriously beautiful last night. And we're just eating dinner and we're done with dinner. And of course, my daughter wants to just watch something on the iPad and, you know, we're all tired. And so we just let her for a little bit. And then the lightning bugs started, you know, going off in the backyard. And it took me a few minutes to get her away from the screen. But once she did, then we just spent the next hour running around the yard chasing lightning bugs. And it was a really fun experience. How about your kids, Ryan?
You know, I haven't seen a lightning bug in years. And I thought they disappeared because I hadn't seen them in so long. But I'm glad to hear they're still around.
You just don't get out late very much.
Well, maybe not. I'm an early morning person, so.
I learned something new the other day, that lightning bugs spend their first 2 years of their life underground. And so it's really important for us to use lawn chemicals very, very sparingly because they are definitely affected by lawn chemicals. Karen, have you heard of the Good Neighbor program at the University of Northern Iowa?
No, I have not.
So it's a new program that we are involved in. We're a partner, and it's basically talking to folks about responsible turf care in their yard and how we really need to use those lawn chemicals sparingly and its effects on all of our insect, you know, insect life that we have in our yard or don't have in our yard. And so institutions, including Blank Park Zoo, has pledged to not apply chemicals, not blanket apply. If we have a couple invasive species that we need to spot treat, we can do that. And there's schools and community centers and daycares and churches and zoos and aquariums across the state who have signed this pledge. I really encourage our audience to look at the Good Neighbor program, and you can get little signs. And so if your yard does look a little different than it has in the past, or looks a little different from your neighbor's yard, You can put a little sign talking to your neighbors about why it is like that. And I think we can all agree that it's extremely good for pollinators to cut down on the use of chemicals.
So you're saying a few dandelions are okay.
Dandelions are okay. My yard is about 20% dandelions and about 80% clover.
I have lots of dandelions as well.
And, you know, dandelions are not native, and so some folks, you know, even in the prairie enthusiasts and native plant enthusiasts don't like them. But here's what I have to say about dandelions. We're never going to get rid of them. They are here to stay. And so we can just kind of stop fighting that war against them and just be accepting. Because if you do look at them in a different light, they are quite beautiful. They are one of the first sources of nectar for bees and butterflies. And there's other non-native species like lilacs that are not invasive that are also really great nectar producers for those early insects when they need them. Of course, we really want to concentrate on native plants, and that is the best thing that you can put into your yard. But a couple of those things that have already gotten loose, you know, that we're not going to ever get rid of, I think are okay. And so the one thing, though, is don't walk in your yard without shoes on. I have learned that lesson more than a couple times.
Jesse, have you seen our gopher tortoises here at the zoo eat a dandelion?
I have not, Ryan. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, tortoises are sort of slow, but they love dandelions, and so they'll crawl real slowly over to the dandelion, and then all of a sudden his head comes out and rather quickly eats the dandelion all in one bite. So it's quite humorous, I think.
You know, I was a zookeeper for 9 years before I just was doing conservation full time. And I agree that watching my animals eat their food, no matter what it was completely so enjoyable. Karen, why don't you tell us a little bit about the animals that you have at Annette Nature Center? And, you know, do they have distinct personalities? And go over the species again of what you have?
Yes, they have very distinct personalities. We have two educational screech owls. So we've sort of nicknamed them Sherlock and Watson. And Sherlock sits at the top of the birdhouse and watches everything that goes on. He's always on the lookout, and the other one sort of just hangs in the tree and sleeps even when you stand right in front of it. So they definitely have their own personalities there. We also have red-eared sliders. We have a snapping turtle, a soft-shell turtle, and we have box turtles. And I have to say, watching turtles eat is very exciting. Our box turtles happen to love strawberries, so they'll just take big chunks out at a time. And they're very quick when they go to grab that strawberry, so a lot like your tortoises here. We also have a fox snake, and then we have two tiger salamanders. We have a bass, bluegill, and a gar. So, and honeybees, monarch butterflies during the summer.
Wonderful. So obviously the fish probably stay where they're at. But the other animals, do you take them out on programs too?
Yes, they do go to programs with us, yep.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah, we've got a very robust educational animal program here at Blank Park Zoo too. Ryan, let's see what kind of species we can talk about with the educational department. We've got snakes, we've got tenrecs, hedgehogs, ferrets, chickens, alligators, salamanders, tarantula. Do you take the tarantula out?
I have in the past.
Tell us about that.
Well, of all the animals that I've taken out, that one I sort of have to get up a little gumption to do, especially the first time. And it was the first time I couldn't do it. And then I just like, okay, Ryan, you can do this now. And then after that, I was fine. And the main thing with the tarantula is don't drop the tarantula. Because they're very fragile.
They're very fragile, but our tarantula is very docile. And
very docile. That's the thing about Blank Park Zoo's education animals. They've been, you know, handled and trained and are very easily handled. And a lot of them kids can touch. And so that's great, you know. And a lot of times when I'm talking to people or kids or whatever, I'll say now, okay, I have a turtle here or I have a snake here. If you see one in the wild, let's just look with our eyes and not try to touch it, because they're not so used to people touching them and they might try to bite you or something.
Yeah, we've got animal training experts on staff, and we do positive reinforcement training with a lot of our animals and really desensitize them to touching, to give the kids that really awesome experience of being able to go up to some of those animals and touch. And that really does mean a lot to kids, and especially the honeybees. there's a little bit of that fear factor. And we have that with some of our animals at the zoo, too. But that really creates a memorable experience, and it's a teachable moment. I was the Egyptian fruit bat keeper for years and years. And when folks came in the bat cave and I'd hear screeching and squealing and fast feet running away, then I would make sure that I would follow them and say, hey, come here, I want to tell you about these bats. And especially with the bees, they're just an amazing to see them in their colony there in their hive. So I know that that's creating memorable experiences for those kids. Karen, how do we learn more about Warren County Conservation and Iowa Association of Naturalists?
You can visit our website for Warren County Conservation Board. It's Warren, WarrenCCB.org. All of our events are listed on there, as well as how to get in touch with any of us. And Iowa Association of Naturalists, we also have a website that you can visit as well.
And there was one other thing you wanted to mention, and it's about geocaching. So tell us a little bit about geocaching and your event you have going on every summer.
Yes, we do a geocaching adventure each summer. This year, our theme is reptiles. So in all of our county parks, we have one or two geocaches that are placed, along with a few in the state parks and then the city parks. So you just grab your GPS unit or your cell phone. You enter the coordinates that we give you, and then you go out to the park and you try and find the cache. So if you're not familiar with geocaching is basically like a high-tech treasure hunt. There are small boxes that are hidden at our parks, and inside that box, there's a little trading card that has information on it. This year, it's all about reptiles, so you'll find lots of turtles and snakes on there. And then there's also a logbook where you can sign your name and a pencil, of course, and then a little card that says what the geocache box is about, and it reminds you just to leave it in that area so that others can find it as well. And geocaching is done all over the world.
Yeah, it's very popular. The Nature Center, I've been there. Tell us how to actually get to the Nature Center.
We're located just outside of Indianola, so you can take Highway 65, 69, and then turn onto Nevada Street.
And what are the hours usually?
We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30, and then Sundays, noon to 4.
All right, so someplace this summer to take the kids. And thank you so much, Karen, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Join us next time for Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo.